Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and have quite a bit of news this week. I guess for any of you that were paying attention to the Fed, they've raised the rates again, 0.25, and kind of hinted that they may be done for a while, which I don't know about that. I have a feeling that they won't be done for a long while, but maybe they're going to pause at least the rapid rate hikes. Dan, are you with us today?
I'm here.
Hey, outstanding. And let's see, I guess we've already played the disclaimer, although pre-recorded. So let me just say quickly that you're going to hear certain strategies, perhaps, certain new concepts, tax planning-wise, et cetera, today. We hope you learned something new. Please don't run out and try to implement these right away, and especially don't run out, try to implement them, and then call us later and explain what you did and how we could have messed that up so badly if that were to occur. Because we typically try to learn enough, don't we, Dan, on the front end to avoid those bad outcomes. But that's what will happen, and it is unfortunate because the answer to almost every question we're asked is maybe. Right, Dan?
Many times it's a maybe we need to discuss, you know, find further details possibly.
That's right, and we've got a mechanism to do that. It's on our website at baplanner.com. That's baplanner.com. And there's a link at the top right called Intake Forms. And if you will follow that link to a page that has four different forms on it, and if you'll fill those out, we'll have enough information we need to get started trying to assess whether or not we have services and strategies that might fit your specific, that's the key word, specific facts and circumstances. And the general rules always fit some people, and yet it's amazing how often the answer is not within the bounds of the general rules. The other thing that we may or may not have time to discuss today, this is kind of a special show, and I'll explain here in a minute, is we may or may not get to at least one syndication that's currently available. And the reason is that today is the inaugural show for six other stations that are coming online this week, and we're going to talk more generally about what we do, what we discuss, the types of projects we work on, rather than picking up as if everybody's already in the know, which is what we usually do, seems like. And occasionally we'll slow down and circle back, but we're going to circle back today, and hopefully we'll have a lot of new listeners in those six markets. We've got Atlanta coming on board. We've got San Antonio, which I think a lot of people have thought were already in San Antonio. I'm not sure why. I've never bothered to ask which station they heard us on. I guess I should have, right, Dan?
Yeah.
Should have asked that. Yeah, that's right. In any event, I've also got Phoenix, San Francisco, Seattle, and, oh, yes, KCAA in San Bernardino, Riverside, LA is the last one. And they come on at different times. So, yeah, it makes it a little bit challenging on this end. And so what we've done, and this is kind of half-baked right now, but I literally threw a website or a web page up called BAPlannerShow.com that's going to be essentially our show resources. So like articles that we're going to discuss, believe it or not, in advance are out there. And in fact, there's links to the articles. Some of them you may not be able to get to because they're behind a paywall. I'm not sure if the share allows that or not, but in any event, we'll find out. But we will throw those articles out there each week. Most of them you'll be able to get to. And so I know it's hard sometimes when we're doing the drive-by on the air about a specific article. It's hard for you at times to grasp it. And so we are going to try to make it easier. And then we'll have illustrations, spreadsheet illustrations. We'll put some of the tools that we refer to, like our gold standard on equity multiple. Don't have those out there just yet, but we will be adding those so that at your leisure you can come back, or while you're listening to the show, you can drill down on some of these items that'll ultimately be quite a resource, I think, to have out there. But in any event, just to close out the disclaimer, check with those that are already familiar with your facts and circumstances to determine whether what you heard is indeed something that you have any business considering. And if you don't have somebody, again, go to beaplanner.com, and that's beaplanner.com, and fill out our intake forms. Dan, I don't know. I know your power is off, I believe you said, so you're working on cell. Did you have any news items you wanted to add to the list there? In fact, I don't know. Looks like I'm having a problem. Looks like we may be having a site between here and there. I was just working on the site, so I know it's up, but I can't get to it at the
moment. One of the things that we've talked a lot about here of late is the amount of commercial real estate loans that the regional banks have, or maybe it's a total that's around the country and coming due in the next estimated 1 to 3 years. And the number that's thrown out, I hear a lot, is $1.5 trillion.
Yeah,
There was an article this week that it was a video, actually, of Warren Buffett talking.
Uh-huh.
He said they deserve it. You know, he's talking about, you know, possibly losing these loans or giving back properties and such as that. Nathan, this is what the guy that many people around the world listen to about investment, and he's saying they need to lose it because they shouldn't have done it in the first place. You know, effectively 100% loans and such as that. That's what he's talking about. That, I mean, it's just an awful situation if you think that the number one guy in the world as far as investment advising is concerned or thinking is concerned, that he's going to say they need to. I mean, that was almost his words. They should, or they need to lose it. That's just, it's an awful thought, I think.
I think he was in a bad mood at the time he said it. He's an interesting fella, but, he had the worst quarter of his career. What? Just wasn't that long ago. Sometime before the earnings just came out, so it was backed up about 90 days. Now, they had an incredible quarter this time, I believe, if I remember right. It's just announced this week. But he's, you know, bless his heart, he's 90 years old. He deserves to take shots, I guess, right?
Yeah, 92 years.
Is that what it is? And, yeah, you know, Munger was
– And his partner's 100, talking, I think.
Yeah, his partner, Charlie Munger, was talking a lot this week, too. I guess it was their Berkshire Hathaway conference week or right. post-week. So maybe they were on their game, I guess. I don't know. But they are a couple smart guys, even though they sometimes they get to the party a little late. But, boy, they always get there, don't they? I mean, it's pretty amazing. What those shares go for. But, Dan, you know, the banking situation, I don't know what to make of it exactly. I mean, we know it's not going to be pretty, but it seems like every day there's people that are saying it's going to be even worse. And, I mean, this was when at first, I remember it wasn't a month ago, they were making it sound like, oh, well, this won't be anywhere near as bad as 2008, 2009. Now, based on people like Buffett and Munger, I'm thinking it's every bit as bad as 2008 and 9, and maybe worse. I don't know. I mean, you're reading a lot about this topic. Do you think it's overblown, or do you think? I mean, there's some people
that talk about it too. They say, well, yeah, some are saying it's not. Some are saying that it is overblown. It's just, you know, who knows what's going to happen, Nathan. It's an awful situation to be in when you think that it is possibly going to happen. But the money was so cheap for so long that they think the Feds, the Federal Reserve, just actually blew the deal. It's what so many people are saying these days. They just really totally messed up. You even get some are saying that they need to start reversing or start decreasing the interest rate already as soon as July anyway, and that's
right.
That's just 2 months away.
Hey, let's do this. I don't want to leave the banking thing. I want to come back to it because some other famous personality had some comments this week that I find interesting, and it's a question I've asked myself before, but I haven't heard anybody that had more sense than I have bring it up. But let's take our first break, and we'll be back here in a couple minutes and pick up with some more of the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross and my guest Dan DuBose today.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little more.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Like the song, Bobby McGee.
Just in my take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me with big dreams and faded dreams.
Okay, welcome back to the second segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And Dan, did you have a clue who I was talking about before we left for the break about who else commented on the debt ceiling? And ever the contrarian in the political realm, who am I thinking of? Or did you catch it?
I did not. I'm sorry.
It was Donald Trump. Did you see what he said?
The man.
Yeah. He said, if you can't get them to cut the spending, breach it. Break or don't break it. Don't do anything. That's what he's saying. He said the world basically was saying the world ain't going to come to an end. It won't be pretty, but it's going to happen someday if you keep spending like you're spending. That's what's going to happen. Do they think it's not inevitable that if we don't cut spending or substantially raise taxes, or actually both, right? Don't you imagine we're going to be staring into the abyss here in the not-too-distant future, and what are we going to do then?
The not-too-distant future is
right.
It's January probably not 26, the decrease in income tax rate from 2017 take effect, unless, and many people are saying now, it's going to be extended, you know, but all that's doing, Nathan, is just pushing it down the road a lot further. You know, they've got to, you know, one of the politicians or one of the commentators said, you know, the politicians don't care about increasing the deficit. They just don't want to decrease the spending, you know, because it'll, or raise taxes is what they're afraid to get kicked out of the office if they get taxes increase. So they've got to reduce spending. They've got to do that. That's where it's coming. And taxes are going to go up. There's no doubt about that either.
Well, look, as we've said before, and you're saying it again, you're just not hitting hard enough. They only care about the time they're in office. That's it.
Yeah.
And as you said, they want to spend, but they don't want to raise taxes, and they don't care about anything past the day that they think they're staying in office. Okay, they only care to see bad stuff happen, i.e., taxes get raised after they're out of office. And you know, the reality is, It's not just coming along. You know, they're not pushing it back far, Dan. I mean, they're saying 2029 now, if you follow the David McKnight Power of Zero crowd. I think that's what one of his latest videos just said. And now he's pretty openly saying the tax rates need to go up 200%. You know, it was at 150 for the longest. And now the deficit has been driven up faster than ever. And I mean, it's striking how fast it's gone from 10 trillion to 20 trillion to 30 trillion now. And
yeah, almost $32 trillion as we speak. And it's not going down anytime soon.
Well,
I mean, we talk about $1 trillion. You're talking about some significant dollars, and we're running
a few billion.
You know, GDP is barely over that. On a,
it's a few billion here and there, right? All added up. But you know, the thing is, the interest alone, I think you pointed out recently, is right at $1 trillion, or will be very
soon.
And
it's going to double,
right? And so, where I'm just curious, and I'm even seeing Democrats now that are calling it a little bit cuckoo for the administration to keep bragging about how much they've reduced the deficit. They're still doing it. I mean, can you believe how just this past week, I believe, Biden was bragging about how much the legislation, the IRA, has reduced the deficit? I don't know what they're looking at. I mean, they need to, I guess, explain it better to Congress so Congress didn't, at least the few that do seem to be worried, will calm down over this debt ceiling, right? What does it matter? And you know,
we've got at least one guy here in Texas, Chip Roy, that's really making a lot of noise about the budget and the deficit and keeping things under control. He's really being a voice, I think, that needs to be heard. You know, that voice crying out of the wilderness these days. He is, I think, pretty near by himself. But if somebody will be listening to him, I think.
He's playing caveman congressman, you know, because he doesn't understand why this isn't bothering everybody. It's almost like they just think, hey, we're America, we'll do what we please. And to a certain extent, I guess maybe that's what Trump's thinking. I don't know. But, you know, the reality is the whole world ebbs and flows based on American defense, based on American financial systems, although we thought they ebbed and flowed a lot more. Mr. Putin seems to have proved that, hey, he doesn't need the Fed and he doesn't need SWIFT. And he's got countries out there that are willing to do business and trade with him where they're actually, I mean, I hate to say this, but they're doing better than they were pre-war from what I can read. And I know this, our reasoned oil and gas policy sure has played right into his hands, and he's made more money off of oil and gas than he ever dreamed of, likely at less production than he would have had to have undertaken in the past. It's amazing. It's crazy. And I don't like it. On the other hand, I especially don't like the result given everything it's cost us guys, the U.S. taxpayer, right?
And it's right, almost and it's like not going down anytime soon, even with oil.
Yeah, right. Nobody's nobody's talking about the massive transfer of wealth from the West to Russia that's taken place. It's hard to fathom that our leaders have led us down the primrose path thinking this was going to – I mean, Russia was in trouble without us trying to help, right? I mean, you look at what's going on with the death and destruction of the Russian military, and it's pretty amazing. Anyway, well, let's get off the political – well, we can't get totally off the political path. Let's look at – a couple of the articles that I've got on the resources page, I believe is where you'll find it on the site. I just wanted to point out there is one Democrat, unless you read the article very closely, and then you realize she's just as conflicted with reality as others, but she's actually got a bill, I believe it's an actual bill, that she's trying to get passed that would block Congress's pay until they raise the debt limit. Now, that's unusual for that side of the aisle, right? But she's absolutely against some other things. I think there was a comment, I believe this was the article, where she's against the Border Security Act that followed closely behind the debt limit. But anyway, I don't want to get into that really much at all, but I did want to mention the impact, the second article there, and Dan, you may want to comment about this. I'm not really sure of all the tricks they actually play as they get into these periods where supposedly we're bumping in to the debt ceiling, but they prioritize, or they say they can prioritize, certain payments that don't cause the really, really bad stuff to happen. Although I don't know. I mean, they're talking about, as an example, prioritizing payments to investors holding U.S. Treasury bonds so you avoid a technical default. Well, I don't doubt that removes some of the sting, but in terms of the psychological element, I'm not sure it much matters, right? I mean, do you really want to rush out and buy more U.S. Treasury bonds because you think, well, maybe they'll still be able to prioritize for a while? Just how much longer you think they're going to do that, right? So I don't know. These are interesting. Certainly, and most of it, I think we would all tend to agree with, you know, military salaries, Medicare, Social Security. But let's face it, this is bad news at that point, and I'm not sure, you know, what kind of psychological impact it'll have. But I know from the standpoint of the folks that are getting the dollars in their bank account, it's a big deal. I mean, I don't know a person on Social Security that, you know, would like to give that up voluntarily, although certainly a lot of our clients could. You know, I mean, I'm not going to suggest that all of our clients are in a position where they're actually living on their Social Security. I'm sure there's a few, but, you know, this is bad. And, you know, I haven't heard anybody talk about sequestration again. Where's that concept this time around? Dan, have you heard any mention of that?
I have not heard a word about that. As a matter of fact, it's still hanging around from the last time, so maybe they're just playing with that.
Yeah, well, in any event, what about the article on Social Security, Dan?
You know, you're talking about a 3.1% Social Security increase, but that's based on current data, and we have seen inflation going down. This, of course, won't be finally set until the third quarter 23 numbers, but it's still a significant increase.
I was going to say, it's still isn't going to be insignificant.
It's going to be interesting. You know, when you consider that there's already in the multi-trillion dollars that's being underfunded already.
Right.
Or unfunded, I should say, unfunded.
Yeah.
So it's going to push that Social Security faster into unable to pay. What David McKnight says, I think the number that he's put out recently was 2030, and then some other reading I see is 2034. But, I mean, that's a short period away. That's just 5-10 years away. It's just close.
You know, well,
the span
I
of a
see
lifetime,
numbers.
That's a not very long.
Yeah, I see numbers all over the board. I've seen, like you say, as late as 2034, although I thought that was simply for Medicare, maybe. I don't know. I get, again, there's so many different measures and different prognosticators grab different numbers. I've seen 2029 all the way up to, like you say, 2034, 2035. The reality is, I don't know how any of them can project when you look at the propensity for Congress to take anything as good news when it comes to the ability to keep spending. And, you know, show me one bill, Dan, that's ended up costing what they said it would. There's something I was just reading. Well, I guess the student loan program is a good one, right? If that ever is declared legal, I think the projections on that are probably 30 to 40% higher over 10 years than even CBO originally scored it as, right? And there was something
else. Some note this week about Biden and somebody, one of his cohorts being out there talking about how good this is at university gathering of young people, you know, how good this is for them. I mean, we're talking about $20,000 potentially per student loan. I mean, that's shameful, Nathan, to even consider that being done. I believe in this great country. It's just wrong, just plain wrong. And possibility of this happening, most people are saying, will not come to pass, I think. And that's good that it won't.
Yeah. Well, and when you think about it, that was just with the signature of a president. I mean, that's what's amazing. That's what's amazing. And there was no
amazing.
That wasn't voted by Congress. Okay, I see where I've got a link wrong. I'll have to fix this later. For those of you that are in San Antonio, there's an article in the current San Antonio Business Journal about that there will finally be 18,000 units. I think the headline's right. I just grabbed the wrong link, so I apologize for that. Well, the headline doesn't have quite the detail I was thinking. So a big supply wave is coming to San Antonio's multifamily market. You want to guess how many units, Dan, are going to drop in? I believe it's all projected for the next 12 months or so.
You just said 18,000. Can that be real?
That's 18,000. That is correct, sir. And they're saying that San Antonio has about 2.5 million residents, I think. That must be the metropolitan area. Seventh largest city in America. I would hazard a guess that most San Antonians don't know that it's the seventh largest city in America. And
I did not know that. That's pretty amazing.
Well, and we being in the hospital,
San Antonio.
Isn't that something where, you know, we don't talk about going downtown today like we do in Houston, because downtown isn't a destination. It's just part of the fabric of everyday living in San Antonio. We go through it when I'm in the country. We've got two properties there along the Riverwalk, two boutique hotel / corporate housing properties, and we go through downtown on a daily basis, don't even think about it, right? It's just a totally different mindset. But being in the hospitality business, we are aware that there are approximately pre-COVID, and it's probably more now because that place is just unbelievable in terms of the number of visitors it's had as of late. The convention traffic is coming back, which that feeds in large measure to what we do. But 36 million people a year is what visited San Antonio pre-COVID. And most people don't have a clue. That's 100,000 people a day on average that are coming in. That's pretty amazing. And I saw an article today.
And they make a lot of money when they come, I guess.
Well, you know, we all hope, right?
Yes, right.
And I tell you what, based on the rates of a lot of the hotels around us, one of the convention travelers told us the other day, I said, well, how did you pick us? Because, you know, we are in the cool area. I mean, we're in, if it were San Diego, it would be Gaslamp, for those of you that are familiar with San Diego. But Houston, it's Montrose. And if realistically, our two properties are in the Montrose River Oaks area of San Antonio, if there is one, except we've got a Riverwalk going through it. But in
my
any event...
Favorite town.
Yeah, well, in any event, I saw, you know, this is common when you want a bigger convention center. The city councilman or the chamber of commerce, you hear the same drumbeat. And we are the, we're the second largest, I think it's in volume of a certain class of convention. You know, we're not the big, like Chicago or Orlando or Vegas size convention center. We're like number four or something, even though we rank number two in desirability or something else. And so now the drumbeat's getting ready to start again. We need a bigger convention center. We got a convention center that's awesome, and it can't be the latest big chunk of money that was spent. Can't be more than 4 or 5 years ago, but it's already out of date, already behind the times, and so here we come again. But in any event, I'm going to say it's money well spent, since I'm five blocks down the road and I got units with Sealy Posturepedic pillow top mattresses in them, and, you know, we want to keep those things full. But anyway, San Antonio, 18,000 multifamily units, and the comment in the article was, it doesn't seem like there'll be any problem filling them up. It's like, are you kidding me? That's a lot of apartment buildings. Divide that by 300, Dan. What is that, 60? Or am I
60.
Off of?
60,
that's,
yeah.
That's a lot of leasing activity. And by the way, it's probably at least 15,000 going to be empty, because there's not that many. I mean, there are a lot of people moving in, but anyway. Hey, listen, it's time for our last break. Let's go ahead and take it, and then we'll come back. And, man, we've left very little time to discuss several other bullets. But we'll be right back with more of the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross and Dan DuBose today.
Keep me in the
your care each day. Cause I am a seeker, and you are a keeper. You are a leader, won't you show me the way?
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be A Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to Nathan at npross.com, Nathan at npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And my guest today is Dan DuBose, CPA. And we've been talking about assorted topics today, the debt ceiling and Social Security and, Dan, 18,000 apartments on their way to San Antonio here in the next few months. Let's see. I wanted to pick up with a few more of our bullets on this week's agenda. By the way, this agenda will stay in large measure the same from week to week to week. We'll just check off different boxes, and I'll have some ways to flag which topics will be on each week's show, because the reality is we talk about the same thing over and over and over, but we change the players, right? We'll talk about how we analyze real estate private partnerships, 506B offerings. That's the SEC crowdfunding statute reference, 506B or 506C. We're going to talk about Roth versus pre-tax. The topic is generally the same or similar, but the players are different. The checker pieces are different. And so what we'll do is, when you look at that agenda each week, if you do bother to look at it because you want to see, well, what are they going to be discussing this week, we'll try to make it clearer. I know we didn't this week because I really had intentions of getting all the way through it at a high level and then starting the aforementioned protocol next week. But, you know, if you have a topic that you think fits within the broad confines, these are very broad confines, we will try to work it in. If you'll either shoot me an email to Nathan, it's Nathan at npross.com, or if you want to send me a text to the 713-581-0195 number, or leave me a voicemail, that's fine. And then Dan and I will consider it, and we're always looking to have a more fully featured card, I guess you might say, at that supplements that four-way intersection that we work at. And, you know, our entire focus involves real estate taxation, retirement plan taxation and planning, real estate private partnership syndications, that's investing in really all types of real estate partnerships, but primarily multifamily is where we find the greatest choice and the lowest hanging fruit, if you will, in terms of a known quantity. You know, the multifamily property, I don't want to make it sound like it's a slam dunk. There's no such thing in real estate, right? Dan, you would agree with that, I believe. But you might also say, well, of all the types of real estate, if I had a pet monkey that I wanted to get at least 80% right, I think a lot of monkeys could do that, right, with the systems that are so well baked at this point. I mean, it's not like the next syndication is likely going to run into something that nobody else has seen in the recent past, right? Right now, it's all higher insurance premiums that everybody's facing. Is this the first time? No. Is this a pretty difficult headwind to navigate? Sure it is, but it has happened before. Mortgage reserve increases have happened before. Debt has been harder to locate. You know, I mean, a lot of us were around in 2008-9, or how about 1984, 1985, right, Dan? You remember those years? I remember those years.
All too well, I do.
Yeah, Houston was a, you know, Phoenix Tower. I just, those two words ought to tell you exactly. And now I was just reading, I believe it was in the Houston Business Journal, the story about Parkway Properties and Midway. I don't know if you saw that, Dan. They're joining together to do several projects, both in Houston and out of Houston. And they were, I can't remember what the big project was they were talking about, that they literally went back to the mid-80s. And it's like, wow, I knew Midway was around for quite a while. But, Town and Country. They did the Town and Country thing. You remember Town and Country, right, Dan? When it was, it's like, how did, you know, it was horrible. And then all of a sudden it's awesome. And those guys did a lot of good work, spent a lot of money. But anyway, bottom line is, if you want to know what's on next week's show, the week after, et cetera, come back to this homepage at beaplannershow.com, and we'll have some way, a little check box or something there that will tell you what we're going to talk about. Anyway, we've got a few minutes left here. So, Dan, let's pick, why do we do real estate as investors, as coaches, consultants, whatever you want to call us, why do we use real estate as the predominant tool? Exactly. And why is that specifically with multifamily? I mean, I've kind of already hinted at it, but you want to
leverage
give me
that's
a few?
Available through debt?
I'm sorry, say it again. You said
leverage available through use that's, of debt.
Boy, that's a big one, although you might not think it's so big right now. Who was it? Was it you that was telling me about someone in the know, a banker, I believe, that you know, that was, or maybe you read, that was saying 40% LTVs is going to be the norm if
yeah,
this
I read
continues.
That recently, where there, you know, one banker, I think it was with the Mortgage Bankers Association, was saying that we could get a flip of, you know, right now, our many loans and recently have been done with 60-40, 60 debt, 40 equities, going the other way around, he's saying. Just
yeah.
Because they're wanting to get more equity in the deal because things are moving south in some cases, or they think it is. They're just being more conservative in their underwriting, I guess. And
well,
it comes back to the cap rates and such as that they may be using. Yet, you know, cap rates going up, so it will run down the the value, which effectively runs up the equity percent that's going to have to be in the deal to stay equal.
And I'm not seeing too many syndicators now, unlike what, 6, 7, 8 months ago, that were trying to portray that as a positive, having more equity in the deal. Well, they're going to like these premonitions then, if that's their thoughts. And I'll say this, it'll make it easier. Well, I don't know about easier. They're going to want to sell them quicker, typically, if the market does change. And so I don't know if they can outrun the gorilla, so to speak, but at least they'll have a lower payoff than maybe they otherwise might. Okay, so leverage is a big deal. And I know, I was just talking to a new prospect yesterday, and they weren't really familiar with real estate or multifamily real estate and very little real estate, actually. And I said, what other business can you go start where, and I'm going to think back a year or two when things were, quote, normal, when you would normally raise 20% of the equity and a lender would hand you 80% of the money to go buy that apartment building or that office building or whatever else you're looking at, even a single family rental. And essentially, Dan, I mean, it's hard to even think it was conceivable, but we're talking rates in the mid threes, right? Low to mid threes for so long, right? 3%?
And very, very right? inexpensive money.
And so you think about that. That means that they're willing to shoulder 80% of the capital with the assorted or the associated risk, and they're only going to take 3 cents out of every dollar. Well, you can call it profit. It's not necessarily, that's not your agreement necessarily, but if everything's going well, you can think of it that way. And that still amazes me that anybody is willing to do that. I mean, I could see saying, hey, that's the minimum you're going to pay me, and then we're going to share 40-40, the other 80, right? I could understand that. But it's just amazing to me that a lender is willing to take that risk and hand the buyer all the rest of the profit. And that's how you make money in real estate. You'll never pay cash for a piece of real estate. I mean, I don't know. I've seen that happen, but it was because of, you know, the lack of debt here recently, where one strategy is, hey, let's go ahead and raise the money we need to buy it, and then we're going to refinance it when all the indicators are heading up, and we can cash out and maybe do a cash out refi that would have exceeded, you know, easily what we paid for it. I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how those strategies work, given whatever the turnaround and whenever and whatever it consists of. And who knows? Let's hope it's fast and a soft landing, so to speak. Let's see, Dan. Using retirement funds, I think all I want to say there is, when we do dig in on that topic, we'll probably do that next week. I think you'll be surprised how easy it is to invest either pre-tax money or Roth. I think you'll be surprised, and then further, you'll be very surprised and pleased at how easy it is to convert. And potentially how inexpensive it is, just depending on the nature of your transaction and the risk. And by the way, before I run out of time, I do want to thank those of you in our new cities, our new coverage area, market, et cetera, Atlanta, San Antonio, Phoenix, Seattle, San Francisco, and San Bernardino, Riverside, LA. And if you don't know what time the show comes on in your market, go to the baplannershow.com page, and right on the front, you can't miss it, you'll see a subheading called Showtimes. Atlanta, San Antonio, Houston, etc. It shows you the day of the week and the time, The shows are pre-recorded. It's this show you're listening to in Houston is the lead show. And you can stream it if you really want to listen to it real time, because maybe you want to send us a question real time. You can do that, or you can go to our website, and we've got every show out there. We normally try to have it up within an hour or two of the same day, so stay fairly current. Dan, we've only got about a minute left. I don't see anything on this list that I think does justice to 1 minute. So I'm going to suggest, I'm going to thank you for coming on today. Your power is out. I guess it's still out.
So it is still out.
The marvel of technology has allowed us to stay connected. And
It is.
But anyway, thank you for attending. We're looking forward to these six new markets, and who knows, maybe we'll be live in all six at some point, but I doubt it because it's a lot of work just to get one done. But anyway, we will return, at least in the Houston market, this same time station next week. And if you have any questions or topics you want us to work in, please send them to me, 713-581-0195. This has been the Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and Dan DuBose, CPA. Thank you.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.